So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel.
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Reverend JFK Mensah, a seasoned Bible teacher with over 40 years of ministry experience. He is a pastor, a church planter, a missionary, and an international conference speaker. He is passionate about making Christ-like disciples worldwide. JFK Mensah is the General Overseer of Great Commission Church International. May you be transformed as you listen to the Word of God.
Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now.
Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, trusting only you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity again. Even as we examine Christ-like leadership, let understanding be given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take your seats. We are resuming our lessons on Christian leadership. And on Monday, I tried to bring home the importance of leadership and Christian leadership for that matter. On Tuesday, I tried to establish that of all the leaders who have ever walked this earth, Jesus Christ remains unsurpassed, unequaled, unrivaled. This morning, I want to major for the next 45 minutes or so on Christ-like character. So we are taking a look at leadership and Christ-like character. Number one, what is character? Number two, why is character important in Christian leadership? And number three, the example of Jesus Christ. We will take a few reflections at the end. So number one, what is character? Character is basically who you are at the core of your being. Character is who you are at the core of your being. A longer definition will be, character is the sum total of your inner convictions, which have filled you until they overflow into the way you behave and speak. What that means is, if you are, okay, I'll go over that. Character is from the Greek word character. It's a direct Greek word. Character. Character, karagma, means a stamp, an indelible stamp which is unique to you. Today we will call it your signature. But those days, the kings carried a seal, which is your stamp. And when you put it on a document, everybody can know it's you who sealed this. So, we define it as the things you believe inside you so strongly that they come out when you speak and when you behave. That is what we mean by your character. It is the sum total of the things you are convinced and persuaded about. Therefore, you speak like that and you behave like that. So, if you believe stealing is wrong, and therefore you don't steal, and get angry when people steal, we say it is your character, because it is from your inside. If you say stealing is wrong, but you steal, you are a hypocrite. It means that what you say you believe does not match with how you are living. Let's read Matthew chapter 23. We are reading from verse 1.
Matthew chapter 23 from verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do."
They say and do not do. That is hypocrisy. You say you believe in prayer, but you don't pray. You are a hypocrite. But if you believe in prayer and you pray, you have integrity. That is character. So let's read Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The writer is addressing Theophilus and says what Jesus began to do and to teach. That's the difference between Jesus and the Pharisees.
Acts 1:1.
They say and do not do. Jesus does and teaches. Yes.
The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach.
Now, let's spend a minute to look at this. You are not bigger than your heart. What you have stored in your heart is what comes out when your heart is squeezed. When your heart is squeezed under pressure, what is in your heart comes out. So you can deceive all the people some of the time. You can deceive some of the people all the time. But there are three people you cannot deceive. You cannot deceive yourself. You cannot deceive God. You cannot deceive Satan. So, the whole world is searching for people who are honest. They have integrity. They walk their talk. What they say, they do. The whole world. In Proverbs chapter 20 verse 6, the Bible says, many a man will proclaim his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find?
Most men will proclaim it, but who can find a faithful man? Proverbs 20 verse 6.
In Psalm 12 verse 1, the Bible says, help Lord, because the faithful fail from the earth. In Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 1, God said to Jeremiah, run to and fro through all the streets of Jerusalem. If you find one righteous man, I will spare the whole city because of him.
Jeremiah chapter 5 from verse 1. If there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, and I will pardon her.
I will pardon the whole city. You remember the plea of Abraham in Genesis 18 from verse 22 to 33. Abraham was able to bargain with God that if you find 50 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, won't you leave them alone? God said, I won't destroy. Then he came to 45, then 40, then 30, then 20, then 10. And God said, if I find 10 correct people in Sodom and Gomorrah, I will spare the whole city on account of. You see, heaven is so interested in people who live lives that match godliness, that 10 can float a whole city. In Ezekiel 22, God said that when the city, verse, you can read from verse 28, was cheating, defrauding, lying, stealing, he sought for a man among them, one person, to stand in the gap before him, but he found none. Therefore, he poured forth his anger on the whole city.
28 to 30.
Yes.
Prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord had not spoken. The people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the stranger. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one.
The meaning of this is that human beings only follow the person they can trust. There have been a lot of questionnaires, hundreds of thousands of human beings have been interviewed. I'm going to interview you too, which I have a sample just now. Let's vote. There are two people. One of them is a liar. When he says look up, you must look down, because he will defraud you just now. The other is honest. When he says look up, because he himself is looking up, and he's honest, he's truthful, he's sincere. Which of the two will you like to trust and follow? Let's vote. All who want to trust a liar, you want to follow a liar, you are interested in a person who deceives you and is kalabule, boss man, no fear, tire man. He will Jacob you just now. How many people want to follow such a person? Look around the room. Even upstairs, I don't see anybody. How many people, if somebody tells you, I will come tomorrow at 8. 8, you can set your watch. He is there. He says, I will give you 10 cedis. He gives you 10 cedis. If he can't do anything, he says, I can't do this. How many people would like to trust that person and follow him? Okay, 100%. Please. The reason people don't follow you is because they see you are not honest. The power to move human beings depends directly on your character, integrity. Can people trust you? When you say people should do something, do you do it? We lead people from the core of who you are. You lead people from who you are at the core of your being. Jesus said we should go and baptize because he himself went and was baptized. He said we should pray because he himself prayed. He said we should fast because he fasted. He said we should forgive our enemies. On the cross, he said in Luke 23 verse 32, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Jesus said we should be humble and he washed the feet of his disciples. Jesus said we should love one another and he loved us and gave himself for us. Jesus said we should serve and he served. And Peter said in 1 Peter 2:22 that in his mouth there was no lie. I have followed this man 3.5 years. In his mouth, no lie, no lie. You lead people from who you are. Many of our leadership schools these days don't talk about character. They talk about leadership style. You must smile like this. A leader must dress like this. So you see our politicians, they look at everything except their character. Now, why is character so critical? I'm going to push 5 reasons to you. Number 1, I call the moral right to command other people to do something only comes when you are doing it yourself. The power to tell people memorize Bible verses, I have it because I am memorizing Bible verses. The power to tell people read your Bible, I have it because I read my Bible. The power to say preach, you see, you have a moral right to tell others to do something because you are doing it. And to tell them don't do something because you are not doing it. That's the first argument. But the second argument is when people catch you doing what you say they should not do, they will never trust you again. You are a pastor. You say they should fast. We are all fasting this week. And when people visit you, they see you sitting beside 5 balls of kenke and 2 fishes, nchinam. And you are passing judgment on the balls of kenke. And as they move around the house, the balls disappear into your stomach one after the other. Human beings talk. When they leave your house, they meet each other. They say, today you don't know what I have seen. I went to pastor's house and this fast. Me, I'm breaking my fast. Unfortunately for all of us, If you deceive somebody once, the next time you are telling the truth, he doesn't want to believe it again because he doesn't know whether you are lying again. Once you break trust, it's difficult to restore it. You must work two times to rebuild the trust the people have. But third reason why character is important is because God is looking at you. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord look to and fro across the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of the one whose heart is perfect before him. Yes.
For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him.
God's eyes run to and fro across the whole earth. God's eyes run to and fro across the whole earth. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 3 and verse 11. It says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching over the good and the evil. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching over the good and the evil. And even hell and its abominations and death, they are open naked before God. What about your heart? 15:3, Proverbs.
Proverbs chapter 15 verse 11.
Verse 3 first.
The eyes of the Lord are in every place.
Eyes of the Lord are where? Every place. Only you think because people have not seen you, nobody has seen you. We always laugh at Moses. He looked left and right and killed a man. He didn't look up. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Only you think you are hidden. Only you think the thing you did was secret. Only you. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching you, seeing you, the good and the bad. Yes. 11.
11 says, hell and destruction are before the Lord. So how much more the hearts of the sons of men?
Hell and destruction. Put your hand on your heart. Tell yourself that hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more my heart? Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13 says that everything is naked before him. You see? You are not hidden. Your intentions, your motives, your everything you are doing is open before God. Hebrews 4:13.
And there is no creature hidden from his sight.
There is no creature hidden from his sight.
But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account.
When you are sinning, do you know that God is seeing you? Me, this was one of my problems. The psychologists were trying to tell me that there is nothing wrong with masturbation. And some pastors still say it. Oh, when you masturbate, there is nothing wrong with it. Actually, you know, all young men go through that stage and they masturbate. So there is nothing. But one problem I had with masturbation was whenever I masturbated, a cloud came between myself and God. I knew, I sensed it. I was not pretending. You see, whenever you sin, God is bigger than your heart. 1 John chapter 3.
1 John.
Verse 20 and 21.
Chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God.
You see, unfortunately for us, faith is confidence towards God. So when your heart is condemning you, it breaks the hand of faith in your insight. Last time, when we were here, two thieves came to our house. And they tried to force into our bedroom from the window. So, my sister came back from church and noticed that they had attempted her window and the people were still in the house. So she quickly rushed for help. And when she came with two young men and they came into the house and said, "Julo," I don't know how they did it, but the men jumped over the wall. And so these two young men came out of the house and started looking for them. So they saw one tall man and one smallish man, and they were walking normally. So they said, but these thieves jumped over the wall. Where are they gone so soon? So it occurred to them to say, "Thief." So they said, "Thief." And they said, if they had remained normal and looked round and asked, "Oh, where are the thieves?" they would have escaped, because nobody knew they were the thieves. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 1 says that the wicked man runs, flees when no one is chasing him, but the righteous is as bold as a lion.
Proverbs chapter 28 verse 1. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion.
You see, as a leader, your boldness, your confidence, your ability to speak with authority is from within. If your character betrays you, you don't have that gumption to lead from within. Is somebody listening to me? But in addition to all this, you must also understand that human beings copy people. Character is copied, is modeled for others. Human beings, you cannot guess how much influence you are having on people. You can't. Unfortunately for us, we don't choose who we influence. You influence many people outside your sphere and ability to control. People who are doing evil are made bold when you also do evil. People who are doing good are encouraged when you do the good. A very painful experience I had was my former head pastor was involved in adultery. And I was the second in command in the church. I knew that the day I talked, the whole church would collapse. So for 3 years, I couldn't tell even my wife. But finally, I had to speak. And the thing I feared happened. The church collapsed. Then I went to Chicago in the U.S., and somebody picked a phone. I don't know how he got my number. And he said, "JFK, I have heard you are in the US. What you and that head pastor did made me decide never to trust any pastor again. I won't go to church again until I die. And he banged the phone. Some of my very good friends, the guy who taught me how to drive, told me, JFK, I was in the same car with you. We were going up and down. And you never told me this thing. I won't trust you again until I die. But that's the bad one. Let me tell you some of the good ones too. I went to Ho for the Volta Regional Convention of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. And when I arrived, a certain gentleman was smiling and said, oh, park the car this way. And, you know, so I got out and I said, oh, hello, I'm JFK. He said, I know you. You came and gave a talk at the Full Gospel Regional Convention a few years ago. I've listened to that message 500 times. I had forgotten the sermon I preached. But here was somebody listening to it over and over. One gentleman is our family lawyer now. He was in Lagos in the 1990s. And one day I met him. And he said, oh, I know you don't remember me. But when I was in the university, you came and spoke at the matriculation. That message, I have put it in my car. Every day I'm going to work, I listen to it. And when I'm coming back, I listen to it. I've heard it over 200 times. One day, I had to go and speak to the lawyers at the Makola law school. And a gentleman walked to me and said, oh, I know you don't remember me, but about 8 or so years ago, you came to KNUST and you gave a message on, can an African be honest? And that day, I got up. You made us vow that we will be honest. And I, from that time till today, I told myself I will never accept bribe or be corrupt until I die. And so, you don't recognize me, but I know you. I'm just trying to tell you that we influence people beyond what you can imagine. It is only in heaven that a proper account of how your dressing has spoiled people will be brought out. It is only in heaven that the type of songs you have been hearing has influenced others will be brought out. Because you cannot imagine how many people are copying you. At first I said, but why do people do copy? Don't you stop mind your own business? Unfortunately, youth copy. Because when you are young, you are searching for a model of people who have found the right way. So that you can be like them. So all youth have their celebrities, their models, people they are idols, people they particularly want to imitate. So you have no way of dodging. Human beings copy you. So if your character is bad, if you are a liar, you are a thief, you are a womanizer, you are a drunkard, you are a smoker, you are a gossip, you are a slanderer, you are a covetous, money-loving, money-grabbing person. If you are envious or whatever bad behavior is in you, people know it. Only you don't know they know. Are you with me? When you are proud, it smells. People around you know you are proud. Only you think they don't know. Character is modeled. It is copied. So, where are we going? Let's go back a little. We have been talking about the promises of God. I want to raise up for you the truth of the scripture. Why a Christian cannot be a leader but have demonic or devilish character. Should I say that again? If you cannot change your character to be Christ-like, resign as a leader. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 7 says, look at the faith of those who are your leaders and imitate them. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 16 says, be imitators of me. Philippians chapter 3 verse 17. It says that, look, all those of us who behave like this, we are a model, we are a pattern. Follow our footsteps. I'm saying that if you want to be a leader in Christianity, work on your character first.
Philippians 3:17, brethren, join in following my example, and not those who so walk as you have as for a pattern.
The word I want you to watch there is pattern. Pattern. So you see that 1 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 1 to 7. Those are the requirements of a bishop or an elder. And they give 18. Out of the 18, none of them says he should speak in tongues. His character. He should be husband of one wife. He should not be soon angry. He should know how to discipline his own house. Otherwise, character. Please, let's spend the rest of the time looking at the promises of God. Why, if you cannot be a Christian leader with Christ-like character, you should resign? Let's look at the verses. We are going to read all of them for effect. I know you know them. That's why we are reading them. Let's begin with Colossians chapter 1. We are reading verse 27.
Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where is Christ? He's in you. That's one. Two. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17.
2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Yes. Where are you as far as Christ is concerned? You are in Christ. The first one, Christ in you. Now, you in Christ. Let's read John 14:20.
John chapter 14, we are reading at verse 20, which says, at that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you.
Jesus says, at that day, you will know that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. So what we have read from 2 Corinthians 5:17 and Colossians 1:27 is true. Jesus is saying, the average Christian, Christ is in you. You are also in Christ. Is that okay? Okay. Galatians 3:27. He says, as many as have been baptized into Christ, he says, you have put on Christ as a dress.
Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ.
Okay. Let's do our revision. Christ in you. You in Christ. Then now you have put on Christ. Are we coming? Okay. Galatians chapter 4 verse 19.
Galatians 4:19. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you.
Okay. So this one says Christ, what? Is formed in you. So let's do our revision. Christ in you. You in Christ. Then you have put on Christ. And Christ is formed in you. Okay. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13.
Philippians chapter 4 verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Revision. Christ in me. I in Christ. Then I put on Christ. Christ is formed in me. And Christ strengthens me. Christ strengthens me. That's okay. Okay. Now, let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Verse 3 and verse 4.
Colossians 3:3. For you died.
You died.
And your life is hidden with Christ in God.
Your life is hidden with Christ inside God.
When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Okay. So, you died. Your life is hidden with Christ inside God. You died. Your life is hidden with Christ inside God. Let's do our revision. One, Christ in me. Two, I in Christ. Three, I put on Christ. Four, Christ is formed in me. Five, Christ strengthens me. And six now, I am dead. My life is hid with Christ inside God. Okay? Look at the sixth one. Christ, who is our life? So Christ is my life. 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 Revision. Christ is in me. I am in Christ. I put on Christ. Christ is formed in me. Christ strengthens me. I am dead. My life is hidden with Christ inside God. And Christ is my life. Galatians 2:20.
Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ.
I have been crucified with Christ.
It's no longer I who live.
It's no longer I who live.
But Christ lives in me.
Christ lives.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Okay. The thing is getting complex now. He's saying that I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. So let's try the revision, if we can do it. Go. Christ in me, I in Christ, are put on Christ, Christ is formed in me, Christ strengthens me, I am dead and my life is hid with Christ in God. Then Christ is my life. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life that I now live, I live. Okay, so can we take a few more? Are you sure? Okay, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4.
Romans 4. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Okay. The whole picture, let's just put it together. I have been crucified with Christ. I died with Christ. I was buried in baptism with Christ. And when I rose up, I put on Christ. Is the picture okay? When Jesus was crucified, you were crucified with him. When he died, you died with him. When he was buried, you were buried in the water with him in your baptism. And when you got up, you put on Christ as a dress. Now, the last one. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 6. What I'm saying is that if we believe the Bible, then there is no sin you cannot overcome. Yes. Ephesians 2, 5 and 6.
Ephesians 2, 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ.
God made us alive. How? Together with Christ.
By grace you have been saved.
Yes.
And raised us up together.
He raised us up together.
And made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
He made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So where are you seated now? Do you believe it? Oh, I forgive you if you don't believe it. But that's what the Bible says. So now, let's put all our riches together. The average Christian, you, Christ is in you. You are in Christ. You, when you were baptized, you put on Christ as a dress. Christ is being formed in you. Christ strengthens you. You are dead. Your life is hidden with Christ inside God. Christ is your life. You were crucified with Christ. It's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. And the life that you now live, you live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. So you were crucified with Jesus. You died with Jesus. You were buried with Jesus in baptism. And you were made alive together with Jesus. You were raised together with Jesus. You are seated together with Jesus in the heavenly places. Okay, sister, come. If I ask you to preach this sermon and quote these verses, can you?
Okay.
Can you do it?
For the verses I come by, I can preach.
You can preach, but the verses you can't. Wow. I love that. She says, as for the verses, she can't, but as for the preaching, she can preach. Okay. Supposing I say I will stand behind you and be quoting the verses. Can you preach the sermon?
Yes.
Aha. Look, Jesus knows you can never live a Christian life. Therefore, the Bible says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. You can live like Christ. 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 Because he has left you alone. He is living inside you so that his life can be yours. Christ is your life. You were crucified with him. You died with him. You were buried with him in baptism. You were made alive together with Jesus. And you are in Christ. Christ is being formed in you. He is there to strengthen you. Christ is your life. 1 Corinthians 6:17 is even more wild. It says we have one spirit with Jesus Christ. And Paul says in Philippians 1:21, it's no, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain.
And to die is gain.
Can you go? Can you go? You see? You, do you see my point? You alone, what is your name?
Please, I'm Yeboah Stephanie.
Yeboah Stephanie, on your own, can you live a Christian life?
Yes, with the direction of the Holy Spirit.
On your own means without the Holy Spirit. Can you?
No, on my own day I can't.
This is honesty. You see, on your own, you can never live a Christian life. You can never. The provision for you by faith is that this life, you are not living it alone. Christ is in you. You are in Christ. And not only that, you have put on Christ as a dress. Christ is being formed in you. The Holy Spirit is molding you, transforming you into the image of Christ from one degree of glory to another. Christ stands beside you to strengthen you. We have read the Hebrews 13:5 and 6. God says, I will never, never leave you. I won't leave you. I will support you. And you died with Jesus. You were crucified with him. You were buried with him. You were made alive together with Jesus. You were raised with him. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And therefore, every morning, if you get up and say, fornication, I'm dead to you. I've been crucified with Jesus. Therefore, fornication, you are crucified. I crucify you right now. Nobody has made me inspector of girls' breasts and buttocks. I'm dead. I'm dead. I was crucified. The moment you start saying that, the whole of heaven comes to help you. So, you have help. You have support. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. All that I've said is just Jesus. I haven't come to Holy Spirit as yet. You see, that's class two. But class one is that Christ. Therefore, every besetting sin in your life can die from this place. You can sit down. Every besetting sin in your life, all you have to do is each morning when you get up, say, you this anger. Today is today. I was crucified with Christ. Anger, you are crucified. I'm telling you that I'm dead. I'm dead to you. Anger, you this anger which comes like hernia. I'm dead. I'm dead to you. Anger, I am dead. I've been crucified with Christ. I died. I was buried with Christ. Anger, you have no part in me. Go, leave me. It's Christ who lives in me. You see that within 1 week of doing that, that anger which when it comes, you are trembling, you are throwing chairs at people, and then say, hey, you too? At work, they call you Osofo because you say you are a Christian. But hey, today Osofo is angry. Hey, you see that that hernia will be perforated and it will come down. Amen. Can we be Christ-like leaders?
Yes.
Let's be on our feet. This time, our singers who sing for us, it is no longer I who live. It is Christ who lives in me.
God liveth, but Christ
that liveth in me.
It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me.
Hallelujah.
He lives, he lives, he lives. Jesus is alive in me.
You have got it. This is the song we are going to use to conquer the world.
Amen.
Christ who lives in me. Ready? So we are just marching as somebody. These are the type of songs that, you know, seriously, these are the songs which are going to march to heaven. Everybody can see it's not you. It's Jesus. The glory goes to him.
Amen.
Because he is living in you and you are living in him.
Sayanda.
So if you are, you should march as if you are going to Argentina or where? Which other country? Indonesia or Afghanistan. Yeah. You are able, aren't you? Correct. Please, over to you.
Yeah.
Follow JFK Mensa Ministries on Facebook and YouTube and invite others to listen to his podcast. You can also access some of JFK Mensa's books and keep up with his ministry at www.jfkmensaministries.org. God bless you.